extra help, extra brilliant voices. Well, don't get discouraged by that roaring response. They'd be more excited if it were them. Hallelujah. Crowd's a little shy tonight. Would it scare you all to move a little further forward? Or do we need a watchman at the door? Come on, don't be bashful. Come on down. We don't bite. For all these people that are going to come in late, y'all are making room for them. Thank you very much. Are we doing okay back there? Once again, thank you. Let's go ahead and pray and let's make officially turn this thing over to God. What do you think? With all our hearts and with our voices, we proclaim that this is a time, not just a day, but this is a time the Lord hath made. We're going to rejoice in you and with you tonight. In your word, we give it to you now. We cast all of our cares and our worries on you. We'll trade them for your knowledge and your wisdom and your understanding. We want to know what you know, see how you see it and what you see. The only way this world can be helped is for them to see it your way. Start with your people, Lord. Clarify. Give great understanding. Do it through your oracles, wherever they may be tonight, gathered in your name. Touch with that coal of fire. Holy Spirit, move in the hearing and in the speaking. Let it not die here, but let it begin a life, and that more abundantly, not just within us, but we take it and we spread it around. Do it for your kingdom. Do it because it's your will. Do it because we've asked you in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Thank you. All right. Everybody remember what we covered last week? What was the name of it? Anybody say it right? I can't hear a thing. Faithful, not responsible. You do remember that, right? If not, you need to get the CD. That's what the pastor said. I am going to get it and listen to it so I can figure out what it is that I said. I'll learn from it. I promise you I will. I want to continue in that vein tonight. Faithful, not responsible, part two. And a little more studious tonight, or whatever God wants, we'll go that direction, but I'm planning to be studious. I hope you meditated on the things we talked about last week. We need to meditate. You know, the pastor did a great job in the message Sunday. Have we been meditating on those things? There's only two ways you can move your head there, and either well, you better be right. I want to talk to you about a vision tonight. And in no way do I want to put on you the fact that you have to have a vision in your mind, something that God has given you. But I want to put in your mind that there is one there. You know, sometimes God has a vision and we don't catch it until later. We don't realize that He's been working with that vision for a long time. We take the negatives and say we couldn't have been in the will of God, forgetting that what we deem as negative sometimes is a direct gift from God. Y'all can say yes to that. Many, many times what we judge as a negative is a gift from God. Let me go a little further. If you believe in what we talked about before, the presence of God being around you, with you, you're in the presence of God at all times, that you've cast all your cares upon Him, that you trust Him with all your heart and lean not to your understanding, then you must believe that everything that comes your way is a gift from God. Did I say everything that comes your way is a gift from God? Now, y'all can take a big swallow and then say amen anyway. Call those things that aren't as they already are. Speak them until they're true to you. Because once you understand that everything that goes on in your life is a gift from God, then you will see it that way. Truth will be revealed to you and through you. You'll become a lighthouse instead of a dark place. Then when I look to you and I say, how are you? You won't tell me dark things, which I consider to be silly. When I say them, they're silly. So when you say them, I'll consider them silly. You evidently do not have understanding if you tell me things other than how good things are. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm just telling you the truth. If you want a motivational speaker, I've got some kinfolk come in and just wow you. But I'm not one. I want to talk the truth to you tonight. I want to give you a kind of a subtitle, From Seeing to Being. From Seeing to Being, considering vision being our topic. And I want to give you a definition of a vision. How many of you have ever got a vision while you're reading the Bible? Then you need to keep trying until it happens. Because what the Bible is, it's alive. The Bible says of itself it's alive, and that's the truth. It isn't there to teach you words. It's there to give you visions. And until the Word becomes a picture to you, it becomes a life picture, it's not doing its job in you yet, and you're the weakness, not the Word. You just need to sit down until you get it. Work until you get it. The definition of vision is a plan of God. It's a promise from God, and it's a command of God. If God would speak to you a word about what you're going to do, you have a promise, you know His plan, and you have a command. By the way, I just described the Bible. A vision is a glimpse, a picture, given by God into the future. It's very sure, but will not be accomplished except by faith through testing. And generally, it's not enjoyed until it's fulfilled. And it's still a promise. Don't get negative. It's still a promise. And I'm going to use some examples in the Bible, or an example in the Bible, to show you how this thing works. And it's a plan, how visions come about. Now remember, the basis behind all of this is we're to be faithful, not responsible. If God gave me a vision, if He gave you a vision, who's responsible for making it happen? He's pointing to Himself. You're saying, God, I'm going to take your side. His side is going to make me feel guilty. If I do that, it'll make me feel guilty. And I'll work my tail off and I won't get done what needs to be done. I'm going to tell you this. For you to walk in health is a vision from God. But you can't make yourself walk in health. Jesus took care of it for you. Your job is to be faithful to the promise, to the vision. You understand? To living beyond your means. Now, I'm not talking about financially. Now, I'm talking scripturally. Far beyond anything you've ever thought or asked is beyond your means, right? It's not your job. You are not supposed to live beyond your means. God is supposed to cause you to live beyond what you thought were your means. That makes sense? Or do I need to say it again? Say it again. God's vision for you, His plan for you, according to His Word, is that you do things that you know you can't do. You make monies that you know you can't make. You walk in health that you know that no doctor or yourself can provide. You walk in greater wisdom than any school can ever teach you. These are the things, the plans of God for you. That you speak more clearly than, you know how many heroes of the Bible said, I can't speak? No, God never asked you to speak. He said, I'll speak through you. These are what I'm talking about, living beyond your means, your ability. God's vision for you, number one, is to live beyond your ability. But don't you do it. If you go out there and buy a house and a car that you can't afford, that's you doing it. If those blessings overtake you, that's God's doing it. Does that make sense? You can't make yourself healthy by taking a bushel load of vitamins every minute. You've got to trust God to do things that you can't figure out how to do in a body that you'll never be able to figure out anyway. We're going to have to learn to live that way, or we're always going to be held to our ability. I want a marriage that only God can provide. I can go to 15 different marriage counselors, every one of them be Christian, and most of them are full of baloney. How do I know that? Because it's their schooling, it's their understanding, and they're not hitting you with word. And why they don't? Because they can't get any customers to come back and pay them for that. So they got to come up with some gimmick. Sorry, marriage counselors. You know how to heal a marriage? Both parties obey God. See there? And I won't charge you a thing for that counseling. But I promise you it'll work. Why? Because He's going to tell you a way that's beyond anything that you can think or ask. You need more money? Don't go out and work harder unless you're going to work in faith. That means go out and do what God tells you to do, knowing that the blessings are going to overtake you. Don't draw rules, don't draw regulations unless God puts them on your heart. He said He'd write them on there. A glimpse given by God into the future, very sure, but will not be accomplished except by faith. All right, I want to start in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. We'll see how far we can get with this. I know in the not too distant past you've studied the life of Joseph. So I'm not going to read for an hour here the life of Joseph, but I'm going to read some. Now I'm going to ask again, this time I'll put you on the spot. How many of you have a vision from God? Two? Three with a nod? Okay. Anybody else want to volunteer to have one? When a vision comes, and I'm going to preface again, I want you to understand that everybody in here has had a vision. You may not have recognized it. You may not realize it yet, but God did, and He's pushing in that direction. But for those that have had a vision, know what I'm talking about. I'm going to make the first caption, A Vision Comes. Verse 3, is that where we are? Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now I'm going to remind you that God already had the vision, hadn't showed it to him yet, but God had the vision. And it was already creating him problems. How do you know that? Well, the father loved him more than the other children. Why would that be? God? I don't understand it, but God was right no matter how we read it. Where the hate from the brothers? Jealousy. Well, with a vision comes some resistance, even before it's revealed. Verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So a vision doesn't always make you popular. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There were, I'm going to skip that. We need to move on. Verse 8. You're going to reign over us? Verse 9. Another dream. Verse 10. Daddy says, you mean you're going to reign over me too? Maybe I don't love you so much as I thought. And his brothers envied him, but his father kept in verse 11. And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now that tells you that God was already impressing other people. Maybe they didn't know the vision, but God did. And you understand the vision that we're talking about here is a decision of God, which is going to be the power of God. We may say we make decisions with no power. God doesn't do that. When He makes a decision, He's already finished it before He tells you about it. Okay, if you get a promise from God, He's already finished it before you ever discovered it. It's another place we fail to live. If I'm reading the Bible one day and I get all enthused about a promise that I see, you need to understand He just revealed it to you, but He finished it before He revealed it. Come on, you should start having a little excitement about that, because that takes the pressure off of you. Along with that vision is going to come a fight. It's already factored in. God never gives you a fight that He hasn't already won for you. He sets out the victory, and then He puts you in the battle. That's a good deal. That's a real good deal. Victory, and by the way, He never puts you in a battle that He knows you're not going to win. He already has seen you win it. Therefore, He says, go get them. We should already know right now that it's a done deal and we're victorious and I'm not afraid of anything. Come on. We can stop here and you should already be excited. All right. The vision comes. We saw it here. When the vision comes, comes excitement if you trust God. Now, Joseph got excited. Can we use a little maturity here in reverse? Joseph was immature in the things of God. And he saw God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as he knew, say, I'm going to make you ruler over something. He goes, hot dog, this is good. You know why God never shows us the whole story? Because we'd run. If he showed him all the things he was going to have to go through, to get to the victory, he would have instantly run. God's smarter than that. He's more of a strategist than that. But he already knew he could do it. Joseph got all excited and he started his enemy. That's basically how the Bible describes our mouths. He started his enemy. He opened up the door for attack. So when the vision comes, it causes words from our mouths that are premature and out of season. Are you hearing me? You lock on to a promise of God. And the first thing that starts happening, instead of meditating, studying, being quiet, and listening, we start yapping. You know what God's going to do for me? Yeah, he's going to beat you up, test you, try you, and then you're going to win. And watch those mouths shut. We are to meditate and not to advertise. We are to be faithful, but not responsible. The first thing that happens when we decide we've seen and heard from God is we're going to make it happen. We try to become responsible. Now, we don't want any blame. We just want to rule. I don't want any guidelines. I don't want any restrictions. I don't want somebody telling me how to do it. I just want to rule. Come on, I'm not the only one thinks like this. After we grab a hold of a promise, a vision, we hear this mighty message on a Sunday morning service, and we're going to run out and we're just going to jump over the moon. We're going to conquer the world, and I'm going to do it just by what I heard on Sunday morning. Is that a fact? Well, I promise you that any time that God puts a seed, a vision, a word into you, the test is going to come. Everybody needs to say, what you have gone through in your life are tests. They are not threats of death. They are not life takers. They can't steal your goods unless you give them away. It is a test. A test is designed for you to pass, not to fail. God doesn't give you tests knowing you're going to fail. You have to decide to fail because he's already made a way. You have to decide not to follow the way to fail. How many different ways do I need to say that? Here's what happened with Joseph. It's what happens with all of us. A test comes. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. Those brothers out there in the field, all jealous, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Can somebody kill a vision from God? Yes or no? It's not a trick question. Can anybody kill a vision of God? No. God does not make uneducated decisions. He already knows. You hear me? So if the next threat that you get is destruction, laugh, because they're threatening God. They conspired to kill him. Then they said one to another, look, the dreamer's coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him in some pit. We'll say a beast ate him and blah, blah. Verse 21, but Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. You don't have to fight your battles. If there's a plan to destroy you, there's a plan to deliver you. I don't care what name it is. I don't care how it comes. You just trust that it's coming. Don't be responsible for your self-defense, because then all you have is what you have. You need to know that there's a King of Kings and a Lord of God, a God of this vision. He's going to protect his vision. And as long as you're in that vision, you are protected. Don't worry. Verse 22, and Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness. Do not lay hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. That was his plan. I'm going to go back and I'm going to save him. Now, this is the test. This is the immature test. Now, these can come in waves of 10, 15, or 20. I don't mean to be rude. I'm going to give you a couple, three tonight, hopefully. But a test that comes is going to... The test is designed to deliver you from immaturity. That's what it's there for. It's to test your commitment. It's easy to say, sitting in a cool church, that I'm a Christian. And I believe every word from God. But God is going to say, oh, really? And it's not for your destruction, it's for your education. Because those feelings that you're going to get, you have to run off. You have to bring down those thoughts that are against the Word of God. The test is usually going to come from the ones that you've trusted and loved. It's just the way it is. If it's a young person trying to move on, it's going to be from his family, from his parents, from his brothers and sisters. And an immature test can go on for years. I hate to tell you that, but it can. Depends on how immature we are. But it usually comes from the one you trust the most. Why would a test come from the one you trust the most? The answer was in there. Because it's not God that you've trusted the most. So that is going to, let me say it clearly, that needs to become your enemy so that you can seek a higher trust. I'm not saying the brothers and the sisters and the mothers and fathers are enemies, but I'm saying you need to learn that these are not the people that, in this vision, they're not the ones that are going to deliver you. Joseph's a young man. He's dependent on his parents. He's dependent on his family. He's dependent on their wealth. And all of a sudden, he has to find out that he's on his own. So if you're going to follow a vision of God, you must learn you're on your own and who to trust. God knows that you need to be taught to listen and trust Him more than all others. We must learn to receive promises from God, but also instructions on the handling of that promise. See, Joseph mishandled this, and now he has to learn to keep his mouth shut. Or let me say it more politically correct. Learn to handle it better. In the test, one of the things that you need to do is lose the vision. Because you don't need to live for the vision. You need to live for God and let Him take care of the vision. If you live for the vision, you will struggle to create and fulfill the vision. And it's not our job. We're to be faithful, not responsible. So we'll lose sight of the vision because of the test of faith. But the vision has not lost sight of us. If you're in a stupor, shake it off. Listen to what I said. We need to lose sight of a vision, but the vision will never lose sight of us. You must have tests, and you must pass these tests, or you will never be sure of what you can do. Do you understand that an immature Christian has never proven himself to himself? He doesn't know what he can do. He doesn't know what he can pass. He doesn't know where his faith is. And a test is to create, mold, assure that you've got what it takes. You're not going to know that unless you pass through the fire. The vision is sure. The one assigned is sure. The one that did the assignment is sure. Are you sure? What am I saying? There's a human and there's a spirit man in you. I guarantee you, your spirit man has already communed with God and he's sure he can do this. But you have to be proven. The Spirit of God with your spirit has to agree, so much so, pass the test that you are convinced. Was that confusing? I hope not. You must be convinced. I can do all things. When you say I can do all things, you don't even know what all things are. But you're convinced you can do them. Why? Because you've already passed some tests. You've already been tempted. You've already been tried. You've done some things that you know good and well you should have created and you didn't do it, and boy, did it give you confidence. That's for those that have passed some tests. For those of you that haven't passed, you fail every time they come along, you've got a few more to go. Because you have to know. God already knows. Why don't you just agree with it? You didn't believe that. God always has more confidence in you than you do. Or He wouldn't choose you for anything. He wouldn't even call you His own. You don't think He says, well, that's my daughter, but I'm a little ashamed of her. He is the selector. You have been chosen. At least move up to that position so He can teach you some things, mold you, make you bold as a lion. The vision is sure. You need to know. The test will grow faith. But it won't grow faith in the vision. It'll grow faith in the one that gave you the vision. Because you've lost sight of the vision. The test just consumed your thought process for a while. I'm telling you, this is good stuff because you just need to know how to handle things. A prophet walks into this church and gives you a mighty word and just shakes you to the core. Put it on the shelf. God, it's your word. It's not mine. And you wait for the vision. You wait for the thing to fulfill itself because it has its own. Tomorrow has been assigned to take care of itself. You've been assigned to trust God. All right. You've had the vision. You finally passed the test. What's going to happen next? You're going to have some success. You're going to have some success. Be careful. Be careful. You thought you had success when you got the vision. And look what it got you. Be cautious. Don't be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. You're going to have some success. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Okay. And Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. They took him out of the hole. He was sold in Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of a guard. An Egyptian bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now, so far his vision has put him in slavery. You know what? Remember the test? The test is mostly right between your ears. Let me tell you faithful words that will come in more than one test. But God, I was doing what you told me to do. All right, then I said, it's time for a test. Do it. We don't like that word, do we? Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. What else do we need? Now see, in any test, in any situation, all we have to do is say, the Lord's with me. How do I know? Because I've been chosen. How do you know? You don't have enough time for me to tell you. I know. That's all you need to know. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He's a slave, somebody else's slave, an Egyptian's slave, and he's a successful man. Now, in your test, are you a successful man? In whatever stage of life you're in, are you a successful man? Well, maybe if you quit telling yourself what a boob you are, you might get successful. If you'll stop reminding yourself of your failures, maybe you can begin to say, I'm successful. You know what determines success? Do you serve God? Not how much money do you make. Not even how happy you are. Just, if God would come this moment, are you where you need to be? Can you say every moment of every day, I'm right where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing? That's success. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. At least that's what his master thought, that he was the master. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. This must be the vision. Come on. You see, man, everything I'm touching is turning to gold. I'm as happy as if I had good sense. I'm living in a nice place doing a good thing. This must be the vision. See? Come on. Don't act like I'm the only one that's ever heard that before. Verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Served him. Served him as he served God. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had and put it under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Did you hear that part? You can expect in your lowest times that you are blessing somebody and it's for you. It's a gift. His servitude was a gift to Joseph because it says right here, it was for Joseph. We don't always agree with that, do we? And the blessing of the Lord was all that he had in the house and the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Another trap. Don't you think I'm pretty? If you are, it's a gift. If you aren't, it's a gift. If you're a good speaker, it's a gift. If you're not, it's a gift. If I'm a servant, it's a gift. If I'm a master, it's a gift. If I can touch things and it turns to gold, it's a gift. Not mine. It wasn't mine when I touched it, and it's not mine now. A little piece of advice as we enjoy some of the success. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to begin to get excited again. Did you ever notice that when you hear from God, you get all excited, and then the tests come, you're not so excited, and you get to see God again and you're excited. Maybe the tests start to stop you from doing that. That you become stable, faithful, and not every wind of doctrine comes along and I feel different. Tell your feelings they have no place. Hardest thing you can do is tell your feelings they have no place in you. You don't go by sight or feeling. We get excited. And we start letting these things that excite us inflate us. Or take us. Take us to places we know we shouldn't go. And we're going back to the test because we're not stopping ourselves. Do you understand that when we let emotion take us to a place, the test is going to come, so we have to come back. Let me tell you what doesn't happen. God doesn't come down and do anything to you. He doesn't have to. Tomorrow will take care of itself. God told the sun to rise and set one time, and it's done it ever since. He said, gravity be, and it's done it ever since. He said, these are the Ten Commandments. This is what's going to happen if you obey them. This is what's not going to happen. Or this is what's going to happen if you don't. Ever since, it's the same. He doesn't come and visit us, slap us on the head and say, don't do that again. He says, you want to do that? Tomorrow will take care of you. If you obey me, my word will take care of you. Which one would you rather have? We cry out, we spend all of our time crying to God instead of obeying God. If we obey a little less, we'd cry a little. I mean, obey a little more, we'd cry a little less. I never once heard yet Joseph say, oh, my big mouth. Our biggest problem is we don't take responsibility for what we did. We want to take responsibility for what God is doing. I have total faith that if I do it, I'm going to mess it up. If God does, it's going to be done right. If it's messed up, I did it. How many of you want me to walk and talk about things that we do and we won't take responsibility for? What mistakes we make, we should never defend. If we make a mistake, never defend it. Say, I did it. Don't do it with your head down. Say, I did it. And God, with your help, I won't do that again. I'm smarter than that. The definition of a fool, one that keeps doing the same thing over and over and expects a change. We gain some confidence, and too many times we gain the confidence in the wrong thing. I've shared this before. I'll share it with you again. The temptation. I'm not talking about the temptation. I am talking about the temptation, but it's the action that drags us down. Had a church service one time. Praise and worship was good. Decided to pray. And man, I mean, everybody started falling out in the spirit like you wouldn't believe. The whole place was falling down. Temptation. I had some success. So what was I planning for next Sunday? What I did last Sunday. My confidence is in the wrong thing. I was taking credit for what God did. Now, I'm taking responsibility. Oh, if I do it again, it'll happen again. What if it had? Boy, I'd have been in serious trouble now. Because now I'm going to get the big hit. Whatever God does, He does. And whatever He doesn't do, He's still doing. When we get successful, we get comfortable. He goes on a missions trip. He testifies and says how great things are going. The temptation is going to come to repeat it and get comfortable in it. When God is moving, and in His moving, He may be the same yesterday and today and forever, but our path won't be. We can get boring when we get comfortable. You know that? So how does He keep that from happening? Changes things all the time. By the time we think we've got a grip on something, we get confidence in that. He just takes it and changes it. And He says, you trust me? So what happens? Another test comes. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. Another test comes. Why? Gift from God. To keep us from getting messed up. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph And she said, lie with me. Anybody in here want to be a minister? Because if you do, somebody's going to like what they see. Woe to you shepherds, Jeremiah. Anybody read that part? Because if God is working through you, the requirements of God for you to be chased to Him are a lot higher. You're totally responsible for lives now, not just for your feelings. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you were his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know what just happened to this man? He grew. You understand that? Anytime you answer rightly, you grow. And you become stronger. That's what tests are for, remember? The test came. He's a good-looking man. She's a good-looking woman. The time is right. Nobody knows what's going on. No, nobody can blame me. You fail the test, you're not going to like the results. But you don't understand. No, and I don't want to understand. I don't want to understand why you screwed up. Don't want to hear about it. I want to hear you say, I screwed up. That's what God says. Now I'm giving you, as you move forward, I'm going to give you some responsibility. You know, his dad, as the church was building, every Sunday morning, when he wanted people to fellowship, he'd say, let's do some hugging around here. Men hug men, women hug women. He had a vision. How to stay out of trouble. Verse 10. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Now, can I make a suggestion to you? Don't listen to those kind of invitations day by day. That's a mistake. And his not fleeing from the very appearance of sin cost him another test. He should have walked out of that place instantly and never looked back the very first time. But it happened about this time Joseph went in the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he left the garment in her hand and fled outside, you know what happened? She didn't get what she wanted. She was told, no way, Jose. He ran off and she said, I'll get you anyway. I will get you anyway. Husband came back. Look. He tried to rape me and I... Whatever story she came up with. He came home. Verse 17, she told him, and that the servant or the master said, after all of this, you mock me? You take advantage of my wife? So what happened is I lifted my voice and cried out, verse 18, then he left his garment and then fled out. So it was, when the master heard the words, which is why I spoke to him, saying, your servant did this to me in this manner, his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoner was confined, and he was there in the prison. What was the test here? There was a test. You may think I'm being super critical, but it's a warning. When the enemy tests, get out of town. Don't hang around. Don't be afraid. Draw a line and stick with it. He should have got out of that place, abstained from the very appearance of evil, and because he didn't pass that test, he got a bigger one. What's God saying to us? Heed my voice, follow my word, or you're going to have to operate purely on faith. He goes back to prison. What time is it? Okay. I'm going to go just a little further and then I'll quit. It'll give me a good place to start. He went to prison for something he didn't do. The prison's not the test. Getting accused and convicted of things you don't do is the test. So now we've got a little more mature test. It's called wait. The next test, or the next title of whatever we're going to go through, is called wait. When you've done all you can do to stand, you put wait in there, it's the same thing. You're going to have to wait. And in this waiting process, you're going to be tempted and tested and tempted and tested. What, by what? By people that say, see, that's what you get for trusting God. That's what you get for doing what God wants you to do. We can say, or we can say, why? Do I look beat up to you? Because what he found out is that God was with him in the prison. He had favor in it. It's what the scripture says. He had favor even in there. The enemy's not nice. He wants to kill you wherever you are. But your mind is even meaner than the devil. It's enmity with God. You do know that, don't you? It wants to go against God every time. It wants to tell you, you were obeying God and look where it got you. You know that stupid vision you've had? You just ate beans, that's all. It was a reaction. Come on. The enemy's never talked to you before. Your mind has not talked to you before. I have done everything right and everything went wrong. This is my God. Come on. This prison was a gift. The weight was a gift. You know what he didn't do? He didn't fail. He did not falter. Did he have the thoughts we've been talking about? Yes, he did. Listen to me, and it made no difference. When you begin to pass tests like this, you're getting ready for success. When no matter what the thought process, let me say another way, no matter what I want, it doesn't make any difference. I can tell myself, you know what you're being set up for now? To being able to tell somebody else a godly statement. A godly statement is you tell yourself what to do and what not to do, and God will allow you to tell others what to do and not to do. But if you can't ever conquer that self, you'll never finish the vision God has for you. Recently, one of the employees pointed a finger at me and said, I don't want to ever hear you say that to me again. Oh, really? 17-year-old girl. And I said, little lady, I woke up this morning and I didn't need you. And I'll go to bed tonight and I won't need you. So you got a choice. You be quiet and don't you ever talk to me that way again, or you get yourself out that door and don't come back. You know why I can do that? Because I've done it to me. I've had me say some really stupid things. And if I can get me under control, then nobody else is going to bother me. Listen to me. Faith in God will make you say that to any situation, any person. I woke up this morning not needing you, and I'll go to bed tonight not needing you. Is that rough? No, that's tough. Rough is not saying that. Rough is paying the bill when you just keep right on going doing what you want to do. That's rough. I want to tell you. I'll say it again. When the tests come, it'll be to test our faith and show us who we are. The test will be, you were doing right and everything goes wrong. The test will be, you'll be falsely accused. Why would we think we're any better than Jesus? Can we not be falsely accused and stand? I thought our Bible said, take up your cross and follow me. Passing the test is when you're true to God no matter what. In these more mature tests, we learn to trust God blindly. Let me tell you, when God starts asking you to trust Him blindly, you're just about over that hump. What do I mean by blindly? No explanation, no rhyme, no reason. Do it. When you learn to say, yes, sir, with a smile on your face, it'll give you goosebumps, not fear. That's what you see right now. I love it. I am proud of Stan when I can look at him and say, but when I can go to sleep at night knowing Stan said, yes, God. No understanding at all. Yes. Because I know that's what God's looking for. If you pass the test, that's great. If you pass one blindly, that's great. For a true servant of God that's going to do mighty things, he has to start blindly. What is blind? David walking out to a giant and saying, I'm going to cut your head off and feed it to the birds, and he didn't even have a sword. That's blind faith. He totally trusted God when he said, I remember the lion I know what God did then. I remember the bear, and I know what God did. You know what? I think He's going to do it again. And I better show up and find out how He's going to do it. See, we need to be such innocent bystanders that we are there and we don't even know what's going to happen, but we know it's going to be good. That's innocent. Full of faith. I'm going to stop at the wait so you don't have to wait any longer. Because I have 9 pages tonight. Pastor Doyle said he had 9 pages of note. I turned to my wife and I said, oh my, it's catching. A test is a gift from God. A trial is a gift from God. Because God wants you to know how strong you really are. How good you really are. And the way to know that quickly is just to be firm, be sure. Don't change your mind. Don't be convinced of anything. Be the hard-headedest person you ever saw in your life. Don't let anybody talk you out of or into anything. I know that I know. How do you know? Because I know. Anybody here know? Anybody in here know? Do you know you've had a vision and that you're in the middle of the vision of God? He's taken care of it from beginning to end. Do you know that? Then be excited. Because He's going to finish it a whole lot better than you ever thought. That's the promise. I guarantee you everybody in here has a vision. I have one that keeps being brought up in my mind. God is beginning to remind me of things that He's shown me in times past. And I promise you, it cannot happen. Except by faith. Except God can do it. Well, it can't happen in Beeville. I think that God can do anything He wants, anytime He wants, anywhere He wants.
Right.
I think He wants people healed. I think He wants people raised from the dead. And just so that you'll know, Pastor Doyle and I don't get together and talk about these things. But the vision is alive. And God knows His vision. I thank God that He gives it to multiple people. And then sometimes He brings it together that way. They don't even know what's going on, and that's fine. You may not know what's going on, and that's fine. When I left my church in Denver, they said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. Well, are you going to do this? I don't know. Are you going to do that? I don't know. Well, what do you know? Nothing. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Blind faith. In blind faith, you're going to come up with more testimonies than anything you can imagine. Just walking out. I had a friend one time took me. He just begged me over and over. I am not an evangelist. Do you hear me? I love to see people saved, but I'm not the guy. You throw the new saved one at me and I'll help. But I'm very impatient with getting them saved. I'm just like, get yourself saved. Come on, man. Here's the scripture. I do it. That's the way I like to see it done. So I don't like to go out on the street and minister. But the man asked me over and over, come with me. Okay, I'll do that. Blind faith, I'll do that. I don't want to do it, I don't like it, and I'll do it. We were down on the bayfront down there one day, and he was witnessing. He's a nut in witnessing. He's great. I can stand back and pray, and he does the work. There's a car pull up beside the curb, and he bent down in the front passenger window just like this to minister to those people. And I'm standing behind him. And there's a guy in the back, and he's like this. He don't see what's going on in the back. And a guy doubled up his fist and took a swing. He's going to knock him down. And he hit something, but it wasn't the friend. It was just, his fist stopped instantly. And the guy looked, and he looked, and he dumb enough to try it again. And he tried it again, and he hit it harder this time, but he didn't. And the guy there didn't even know it was happening. And I'm going, this was worth coming. I'd have paid to see this. I didn't say, but immature. Oh my God, did you see that? Keep your mouth shut. Start giving God thanks. He's up to something. He's doing something here. Don't get in the way. An emotional response will bring worldly results. You don't want that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, it helped him a lot when I told him what happened afterwards. He's going, what? Yeah. Now he's glad he asked me. I don't know if my presence did anything. I was there to see God in action. But let me remind you something. He didn't see it. I did. Are you trusting God whether you see it or you don't see it? How long have you been asking God for some things and you don't see it? See, God never told you that His plan would be according to your sight or your timing or your wishes or your will or your prayer. He just wants you to be blindly faithful and absolutely unresponsible, non-responsible. It's not you. If God would ask you right now tonight to lay hands on that dead person and I'm going to raise him, what would happen to your ego? Are you ready yet? Have you been tested enough to know that it's not you? If the thing you've been praying about the most comes into fruition, comes into your vision, I mean, you can see it and you know it was your prayer, are you going to have problems? Are you so humble before God that you wouldn't take credit if God tried to ram it down your throat? You're like the men of old, the Old Testament. You'd throw dust in the air and tear your garments and say, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. It's who God's looking for. If you go down on a mission trip and you see 10,000 people saved, you didn't do nothing. You didn't do nothing. It's not me. Here's what you're required to do. Thank you, God. Thank you that you used me. Thank you that you honored me by using me. Do you know if God gives you a promise or a vision, that's an honor? He chose you to do that. God did that. The tests are an honor. I know some people I've seen some, Pastor Doyle goes through some things that I don't think he'd agree with what I said. He will, but he's not excited about it. Tests are an honor. Trials are an honor. Because when you walk them through, you come out as pure gold. Please, soft church, wherever this CD is going to go. God hates soft. He likes people that have been tested by fire because He knows now He can depend on them for sure. You know that God, do you understand how exciting it is to know in your heart of hearts that God can trust you? You know how good that is? To you tonight, know that no matter what the assignment is, God could trust you. Thank you. I knew it. I knew it. He's saying, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. You just needed to know. Our tendency is, all right, let's get on with this test so I can get on with the success. Wait. Well, how long, man? I got one foot in the grave and the other banana peel. You wait. Wait. Don't get excited. Be anxious for nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have I helped you tonight? Have I encouraged you? Have you got at least one toe that's sore? Because I'll try again if you don't. I want to be the bull in the china closet. I want to be that. Stand with me. All hearts clear? I hope not. I hope you go home tonight and meditate on these things. Talk to God about it. Be a friend to Him. Let Him be a friend to you. If there's a challenge tonight, talk to Him about it. Ask Him if what I said was true. Ask Him what He was trying to tell you personally. If you've lost the vision, ask for the vision back. Let Him remind you. If you need another test, be bold enough to ask for one. But come on, God. If His job is to provide and protect and care for you, you are free and clear to say, come on with the test. Because He has to be the author and the finisher of your faith. Because He said so. I wish we could get in our minds. I wish we could get it down hard that I have nothing to fear. No weapon formed against me can prosper, not even a tongue. And those tongues that do rise up, they got a rough life. But I don't see it. It's not up to you to see it. It's up to you to believe it. Amen. Father, we thank You tonight that You were here. We thank You that we've gained some wisdom and understanding we didn't have before because we trust You, we've asked You and trusted You. I thank You that You're rising up a people that are tough, able and willing that never falter and never fail. They are being prepared by you to kill giants and lions and bears and to walk on water and to do those things that you've already preordained we must do to accomplish those things in the kingdom that you will. We volunteer. In this short life that you've given us, we're going to be worn out by something. Let it be your will. Let it be your will. Not defense of ourselves, not defense of our stand, but just working the work of faith. Bless, heal, save, deliver. Use these people to cause these things to happen. And we'll be forever grateful and continually giving you praise. And we do it in the name that takes dominion over everything, Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Thank you for listening.